Home for Christmas, a compilation.
When Jesus walked this earth, you could technically say he was homeless. Jesus said, "Birds have nests and foxes have holes, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." But in heaven, he had the greatest of all homes. In John 14, Jesus said, "In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." A better translation would be, "In my Father's house are many rooms." The word mansions suggests something big like an estate, but rooms suggests coziness. Jesus left his home in heaven so you can have a home in heaven. God sent his Son from the glory of heaven to be born in the most unsanitary conditions imaginable. What an amazing sacrifice it was, leaving his heavenly home so we could have a heavenly home. Jesus left his home in heaven to make a home in our heart. Jesus was born so we could be born again. We talk a lot about that manger and what happened there, and so we should, but let's not forget why. Why did Jesus come from heaven to earth? So you could have a relationship with him, and he could take residence in your heart. Greg Laurie. Making room. Some of the saddest words on earth are, "We don't have room for you." Whether it's about a ride to the game or a place on the team, the words hurt. Jesus knew the sound of those words. He was still in Mary's womb when the innkeeper said, "We don't have room for you." And when he was hung on the cross, wasn't the message one of utter rejection? "We don't have room for you in this world." Even today, Jesus is given the same treatment. He goes from heart to heart, asking if he might enter. Every so often, he is welcomed. Someone throws open the door of his or her heart and invites him to stay. And to that person, Jesus gives this great promise, "In my Father's house are many rooms." What a delightful promise he makes us. We make room for him in our hearts, and he makes room for us in his house. His kingdom will never end. Max Lucado. Our eternal home. It is not surprising that the first question the disciples asked Jesus was, "Where do you live?" To us in the West, that is an amazing question. It would have been more natural from our perspective for the disciples to have asked Jesus what kind of business he was in. In the West, one's job informs everyone of one's status and possible net worth. However, in the East, where you live tells everyone who your parents are and hence your status. Jesus had stand-ins for parents with an extraordinary faith. His father was a carpenter and not his biological father. His mother was the bearer of that which was conceived by the Holy Spirit, a one-time happening to explain a one-time happening, why we are here on earth in the first place. This is the event that explains all other events, the sunlight shining truth upon a dark world. This is why Jesus' answer to Nathanael's question of where he lived is as profound as can be. Come and see. Then Jesus surprised him even further, disclosing Nathanael's own heart to him and showing him what lived within him. Still reeling from that disclosure, this would-be follower was not ready for the next pronouncement. Jesus said, "You are surprised about what I told you about you. You will be even more surprised as you see the heavens opened and angels ascending and descending on the Son of Man. In effect, that will tell you about me." That statement had to stir Nathanael's soul because he would have recognized the same dream Jacob had long before when he fell asleep running from his father's home and dreamed of angels ascending and descending a ladder and above it standing the Lord. When Jacob woke up, he called the place Bethel, the house of God. Jacob was running from his father's house for fear of retribution. Jesus left his father's house to spare us from our retribution. Jesus pointed to the eternal Bethel, the house of God, as his home. That was his address, his father's house. What an answer to the question, "Where do you live?" Talk about a street address. His house was the house of God. Now from Bethel, the house of God, to Bethlehem, the house of bread, is the ultimate blend of the spiritual with the material. The Word has become flesh to dwell among us, Emmanuel. That is what Christmas is all about, home and the bread of life. He left his home above to show us the way to a peace that he alone can give when we make our hearts his home. He beckons us to the eternal Bethel and the eternal Lehem, bread of heaven. Ravi Zacharias. The House of Christmas. A child in a foul stable, where the beasts feed and foam. Only where he was homeless are you and I at home. To an open house in the evening, home shall men come. To an older place than Eden, and a taller town than Rome. To the end of the way of the wandering star, to the things that cannot be and that are. To the place where God was homeless, and all men are at home. G.K. Chesterton. The Prodigal Son and Christmas. Consider a gospel story that is rarely, if ever, associated with Christmas. This story has no manger, no shepherds or magi, no star, no bloodthirsty king. The element that makes this story so powerful is simple. A father watches hopefully down the road for his wayward son to come home. It is my story. The parable found in Luke 15:11-32 does not give an exact age for the younger brother, but I like to imagine him to be in his early 20s, which is a profoundly dangerous period of a man's life, a time when he too often feels invincible, but is walking headlong into a minefield. He believes the laws of man, God, and nature do not apply to him, so hubris takes over. "Minds?" he asks. "What minds?" That's exactly what I thought in my early 20s. The sound of the detonations could be heard from Texas to my native Michigan. My plan to go south, make a bunch of money, and have fun came crashing down until I was homeless. But there were two saving graces. The first was the protective hand of God. The second was my parents' words as I headed out the door toward Texas. "You can always come back to the farm." I knew this was no empty promise. What makes the prodigal want to go home? Perhaps he or she is in a life-threatening situation, in a spot so scary that they want to flee to the safest place they know. In the parable, the younger brother became so hungry and poor that he wanted what the pigs wouldn't eat. he decided it was time to swallow his pride and go home. Jesus said the younger brother came to his senses and headed back to his homeland. So did I. With the exact amount of money for bus fare home, I boarded a bus in Houston and arrived home Sunday morning, Christmas Eve. The power of that gift, that open door, that second chance, sustains me every day. This would not have happened without my parents extending the standing offer that I could always come home. Neither does our salvation happen without our Father making the first move. God could have nursed the grudge and piled on the punishment. But His love for us was so immense that He was willing to do anything to make sure we got home. The arrival of the baby Jesus is an offer to come home in every sense of the word. His birth, death, and resurrection offer the ultimate second chance to accomplish the ultimate homecoming. This is why the parable of the prodigal son should take its rightful place as a Christmas story. Lee A. Dean. Welcoming the Savior. Some people cannot understand how God could have come down and been wrapped about with human flesh. But He came. That seems easy to believe because I see Him born in hearts every day. He comes and lives in hearts and transforms lives. And to me, that's a great miracle, a mighty miracle, that He can be born in your heart and in my heart, and live there in our hearts, identifying Himself in that way with us. There's an old verse of poetry that says, "Though 1,000 times in Bethlehem Christ be born, if He's not born in thee, thy soul is all forlorn." God's word in Isaiah, in the 9th chapter, says, "His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." His name is wonderful because He was wonderful in His life, going about everywhere doing good and healing all that were oppressed. Wonderful His death, dying for you and me, that we might have life. Wonderful His resurrection, that we might also be resurrected. And wonderful now in His life after death, because He is interceding for us. Let Him make His home in your heart. He's still on the throne, and He wants to be on the throne of your heart. Virginia Brant Berg.
You've been listening to an audio production by The Family International. Visit us at www.thefamily.org.